Good afternoon, everyone. We're pleased to have Morris Siegel on the line with us. And just a brief disclaimer before we progress into the full discussion here, and that is material discussed is meant for general illustration and informational purposes, and it is not intended or should be construed as tax, legal, or investment advice. This is intended for low FS clients only, and please note that individual situations can vary, therefore the information should not be acted upon. The information is not intended to advocate or recommend any type of specific strategy or investment. Now that we have that out of the way, Morris, welcome. It's good to talk with you again.
As always, it's a pleasure, Greg.
Morris, we talked about 2 weeks ago, and at that time, the Libyan crisis was following on the heels of the unrest in Egypt. And when the Libyan crisis began, you indicated that you felt that the rise at the gas pumps and the flight to quality in the markets would be temporary, and that we would see prices at the pump go back down and the markets potentially settle out. Has anything changed since, in your point of view on that subject, since we talked a couple weeks back?
Well, my underlying theory in regards to that remains unchanged. I think if Libya gets rectified, oil prices will in fact settle down. I think the difference between 2 weeks ago and today is the fact that Muammar Gaddafi is still firmly in power in Libya, and the unrest there has turned into almost a full-fledged civil war. And the tide that I think was at that time running in the favor of the rebels has more or less stalemated. And so this thing is protracted and dragged on. And in the interim, with a good strong dose of speculation, we've had this huge surge in energy prices, particularly at the gas pump. And that's what's different. I still believe that when the Libyan situation is finally solved, either with Mr. Gaddafi remaining in control or out of control, and oil gets back into the market, then oil prices will have a pretty steep drop-off, particularly from these levels. In fact, we are seeing a pullback today on the news that other members, particularly Saudi Arabia, of OPEC, are increasing their output to make up for the Libyan shortage. And as I've indicated previously, Saudi Arabia and the rest of OPEC have every incentive to keep oil prices stable and not to get out of hand and throw the world economy into something of a recession. So just on that news alone, oil prices have pulled back today. So you can imagine what would happen if the Libyan situation actually got settled.
So it seems you could categorize the current situation essentially as I would liken it to a tug of war between the U.S. economic data, which has been strong as predicted in many pockets of the economy. It's not perfect, but it's certainly improving, particularly in the areas of consumer spending that was critical to see. But it's really a tug of war between the U.S. economic data versus the price of oil. What is the prudent strategy to implement at this time? Should we be considering any shifts in what we've been doing?
I don't think so. I believe we should stay the course because I think as we see today's market, the underlying thesis in regards to a recovery in the U.S. economy, one that accelerates led by the consumer and by some improvement in unemployment, which we're starting to really see in the last couple of months, is going to ultimately outweigh what we consider to be a relatively short-term unsettling of the oil markets. So I think you stay the course. I think we stay invested in the areas around the U.S. equity market, playing the recovery, cyclical recovery cycles in banks, financial, real estate, tech, and the strong underlying trends that we're seeing in consumer spending and in particularly manufacturing. We have a retail sales report coming up the end of this week, which could be pretty positive and add points to the stock market here. The March retail sales will be more reflective of the current pressure from oil prices, but this week's February retail sales report could be surprisingly good.
That would be a nice surprise. So it sounds like essentially patience is the key here.
Yes.
And that you believe that at the end of the day, the U.S. economy wins this tug of war in the short term.
I think the U.S. economy wins the tug of war over the next 60, 90 days. it's hard to pinpoint because I can't predict, nor can anybody else, how the Libyan situation or how long it'll take. Like I say, one of those sides is going to win. It's a question of who and when. When that's settled, one way or the other, oil markets will settle down, and the U.S. economic forces that are underway and in play or improving are going to take center stage again.
Morris, following our last call, we received a number of we received a lot of positive feedback about the dialogue that we had, and in that context, a number of our clients asked about, are we too optimistic about the U.S. economy? What about inflation? What about the protests and unrest we see in areas like Wisconsin? What about the pressures on public pension systems and the pressure on local and state municipalities for downsizing government jobs? And I think I'd like you to speak to that, but I believe that the answer to that question really is in our outlook and strategy. We're very bullish, if you will, on the domestic U.S. economy right now, but we clearly recognize that in the future, and perhaps in 2012 and beyond, there are going to be some risks that we're going to have to adapt to. And in some ways, we've already put some core tenets in play in our portfolios that would potentially be answers to those areas of risk.
Well, let me try to dissect that. The U.S. economy, in terms of the major pulse rate, i.e. manufacturing orders, business-to-business spending, consumer spending, which has been surprisingly strong in January and February in areas like autos, even housing sales year over year are starting to show some increases in unit volume sales, are all very positive. And in our most recent analysis of the February employment report, we see some improving underlying trends at work, which lead us to believe that we are moving increasingly close to what is potentially, and I emphasize these words, potentially, a real turn in the underlying employment situation. And I don't have to tell you or anybody else that if employment really starts to turn, and the private sector actually created over 200,000 jobs in the month of February, if that can be sustained or improved upon, and the first time unemployment claims that were reported last Thursday can remain under 400,000, we have the underpinnings in place for some very improved employment numbers. And that's the key to a substantial turnaround toward normality in regards to a cyclical recovery. So far, we've been sort of limping along on one leg since the end of the recession. But I will tell you that the data that we watch, and we track a lot of it, as you know, is increasingly positive. And were it not for this hiccup, that if I can call it that, in oil prices, I think things would be just flying as far as the stock market is concerned. Now, in regards to the Middle East unrest and oil prices, yes, it is damaging to the commodity markets, particularly the energy market. It's created unsettledness. It's raised the price of oil over where it would be. And it has created an increase in consumer inflation as well as business inflation that we didn't expect to see at the beginning of the year. Inflation is bubbling up, and it has increased over the fourth quarter and so far into the very first part of this year. And I'm sure the inflation numbers, both at the wholesale and retail levels, are going to look increasingly bad as we come through March and possibly into April, reflecting the high energy prices we're seeing now, plus high food prices and other commodity prices that are starting to get filtered through the wholesale and retail sector, like in clothing prices and in commodity prices like cotton and apparel and chemicals and so forth. And I'm not going to minimize the fact that inflation is bubbling up, and we rightfully have that on our radar screen as a concern. But within the context of the other parts of the U.S. economy, we think that they are at this juncture going to overshadow any increase in inflation that we are going to experience right now. And I think we have to put what we're talking about in context. We are looking at a acceleration and a cyclical recovery of the U.S. economy from its most severe recession in the post-war era. We limped along last year. We, I think, did barely 2% GDP growth in 2010. This year, we're estimating about 3, maybe 3 plus, depending on what this first quarter looks like. But we are not making the case for a long-term secular bull market and a long-term secular rebound in the U.S. economy similar to what we saw in the 1980s and 90s. What we are seeing is just what we said, a cyclical rebound, and that's what we've emphasized in our strategy is cyclical recovery areas like real estate and financials that have the potential to show above average earnings recovery from extremely depressed